What up though, this your boy DOC, and we got a very special guest on the platform today. If you would like to go ahead and introduce yourself and where you from.
Yee. Okay, they call me MC Yee, Mickey, Katie Mickey, and whatever you want to call me, just don't call me broke. I represent 360 Radio. I represent Go Dare Magazine, Boss Lady Products. I have a Chicken Hill. I have a very big, large source of people that I go out and represent when I'm in the streets. But I pretty much am a radio host and a personality, and I host shows, concerts, 420 events, whatever you want. Bus tours, twerk buses. I got your back.
Right.
The host with the most in the Northern Cal area. I'll bring it.
So the name fits you well. Yeah, and that was basically the first thing I was going to ask you to, you know, from the very jump at the beginning, to kind of let people know everything. So the 360 Radio, Go Dare Magazine, you say you do hostings, right. Of course, interviews. You got tons of interviews and stuff like that.
Connected Radio is the name of the radio show. I didn't even think about that. Connected Radio is my specific brand radio show. So the Yee area, that's the one I'm pushing. But I'm on 360 Radio as a platform.
Okay, so is it connectedradio.com?
No, actually, we have 360 Radio. That's what we're hosting, but we're working on separate pages for each show right now. So just so the people out there know, they're going to be confused. They'll be like, what about Connected? Connected is my thing. That's the name of the radio show that kind of ties into what all my tattoos are about. It's just my life story, kind of end of story. I'm hella connected. That's how I got there. That's how I got where I'm at. So that's the name of the radio show.
Word. Well, let's rewind. You know, of course, it's the first time being on the platform, so I want to rewind and bring people up to date and give people the opportunity to get to know you from a business aspect and a personal aspect, so they can understand the passion for what you do and the reason why you're in the position that you are in. So how would you explain, like, just basically, like, your upbringing, where you're from, you know, leading into start having a passion for, like, hip-hop and all that, like, just your upbringing as a kid?
Well, I was originally born in Kansas City, Missouri, and then I was taken to Beaumont, Texas for a few years. And my father, and then I ended up in Northern California. My father was an arena manager, and a promoter, so to speak. As he was managing arenas and promoting, I was going to these shows young, because he used to have to, you know, take me to work sometimes. My mom worked too. So I would go to these concerts at like 7, 8 years old, and I was just mesmerized, you know, by the whole entertainment industry in general, and to watch him juggle people and their emotions and, you know, you read the room, and it's just crazy to watch somebody at their finest in their art. So that's what I did as a kid. I watched my dad, and he made the mistake of moving me to Redding, California, which was a little bit north of Sacramento, and I fell in love with Bay Area hip hop. I originally came out there, you know, bumping Ghetto Boys and Houston Convicts, you know, everybody from Houston 409, Louisiana. That's where I was, you know, going to school at. But I fell in love with the Click when I heard it, the first album, you know, the very first Click album with the Cutlass on the cover. And then I fell in love with E-40, and I kind of just got introduced into the culture at that point with that music. And my dad had a Mix-A-Lot show. He was hosting a concert, Sir Mix-A-Lot. And this is in Redding, which is kind of a small, let's just say, white town. So pretty racist and shit. Don't go there, you know, come on vacation, leave on probation type shit. Like, stay out of Redding. But that was my dad's arena. So I went to the Mix-A-Lot show, and I got to see Sir Mix-A-Lot close up and see right when Posse's on Broadway was like yanking, and his song was number one in the country. And I got to ride in his limo from the backstage to the front of the stage. So that's the moment I knew I wanted to do this, as you know, for a living. I wanted to do exactly what my dad did. So I started to get into promotion and things like that when I was probably 16, 17 years old, but I got paid for it after I hit 18, because I found an artist up here who needed help just as much as I wanted to help. And that's right. How it ended up working out. So, you know, no pun intended, I was brought on to Get Paid Records with Juice from Bullies with Fullies, or GUCE from San Francisco, Hunters Point. He gave me a shot, and it worked. And we started a radio station called Giants and Elephants Radio when him and Jay Stalin, you know, launched their album. And they used to be up in the radio studio every day with me, and we had a blast. You know, shit I should not have been doing, but I was. And we interviewed people, and there was this, it was this, you know, if I say any more, I'm going to end up getting questioned about it. So just leave it at that. But go back and listen to the old Giants and Elephants podcast, because I've been smashing these beats out for years. Like, I know all this music from the bottom of my heart. So they're all available, and I'll get you all the links and all that. They sound like shit, you know, and I had to find out who I was as a voice and how to talk and how to host and how to ask questions. But to listen to it is a fun adventure, too, because, like, damn, look where I started, right, where I ended. Crazy.
Yeah.
Right. So that's how it all started, Northern California. I moved here in the eighth grade, and I met Mix-a-Lot, and that's when it clicked for me. Like, you're going to be in this forever, and it's your passion. So that's kind of what I've done. I just try to help people hear it.
Well, it's good to hear that you say, you know, clicking up with them, that you were able to get paid for your services and doing something that you love. Like, during that beginning stage, were there, like, any trials and tribulations or learning lessons that you had to encounter to get to where you at right now? Like, you know, was it, like, learning how to communicate with the artists, or artists not having management? Was there, like, were there different speed bumps, like, during that particular time, or was it an easy road just, you know, taking off doing what you do?
It was really crazy, because it was easy and hard at the same time. It was really easy for me to make the wrong decisions. I was not paying attention, and that's what I would tell anyone. When you're young and you're in, like, that fast lifestyle of, you know, music, entertainment, whatever it was, I just kind of was going so fast that I wasn't paying attention. And of course, you know, I'm a very nice person. I have too big of a heart, to my own detriment most of the time. So I give and give and give and give and give, and then I don't have anything left. And I did that several times. I would say I paid for all of these people's music to be played for the first 10 years of my career. I paid for it out of my pocket, you know? So it was me learning that I don't need to do that. You know, I can get paid to do what I do. So finally, you have to put your foot down. And you also have to realize where you are and what scenario you're in, because I'm not hanging out with, like, fifth grade teachers here. You know, like, I'm hanging out with fucking real, solid, official boys, like, from the town, from Frisco. Like, these are some real boys, so they'll really dog your ass out. So you have to be careful who you talk to and how you talk, as well as a female too. So it's very complicated how to move in this game, especially as a woman, because it's so much different. There's so many other factors. So I just had to learn to trust my instinct and never do what's best for somebody else above what's best for you. Because that's where I was doing for quite a while. But I had to change all that.
Right. Well, definitely here, you know, of course, you're a woman. So when you said doing or not doing certain things as a, you know, a woman in this particular industry, are there certain things that, like, stood out to you that you noticed, like, oh, if I was a man, this wouldn't happen, or it made it harder? Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. If I was a man, I wouldn't have got for several amounts of money that I got for, you know, like, I had to literally go report something to a man to go handle it, because I wasn't a man. So course, most definitely. Oh. But I was lucky, because I had people in my corner that would and can, you know, take care of that. So they did. And that's kind of how my respect built out here. It was like, I'm not in this for, most of these girls want to fuck all these artists and go, you know, do to the pool and do the coke and party all night and do the E. It's like, that's not what I'm here for. I'm here to push the music out. And I love it. So people see it, and it helps me to get a better footing. But they still try to this day, you know, I call it getting white girled, because I'm Danish. I'm very white, but I'm very submerged in this culture too. So it's like, I feel I earned my way here. So when I get treated like that, I get an attitude. But that's right. The challenge. That's definitely the challenge, is men don't want to necessarily admit women are right or are owed sometimes, just because it's the everyday struggle of man versus woman. So that's how it worked. But I had to put my foot down again. You just have to draw the line.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Sometimes the lines don't get, you can't draw them till too late, but you have to find them at some point.
at some point. Right. Yeah. You know, now, of course, being from Detroit, there's a connection between Detroit and Northern Cali, definitely in the Bay. And I always say, like, I feel like, I don't know if it's a purposeful thing where the industry skips over these particular areas, or the artists are just too real for the industry, or whatever the case may be. But being there doing what you do, what is your outlook on the mainstream media compared to the artists there, and possibly not giving opportunities to people that really are talented?
Yeah, I mean, I see it a lot. They definitely support who's popping and who's popular. They don't support the real ones, the talented ones. But again, when that happens, you know, I feel like I'm one of those people that's trying to expose everybody that's underground that I think is working, you know, and earned it and deserves it. But here's what I had to realize. Mainstream is where the money is, yes, but do you really want to be mainstream? Because somebody asked me that the other day. Like, our main radio station shut down. It went to Spanish speaking. So our hip hop station here in Sac is gone. We are the hip hop station, internet radio. And they're like, you want to turn it and go get an antenna? You know, and I was like, have you heard my show? Have you heard my music? You know, they don't play that on terrestrial radio. They're not going to, ever. It's too rough, too real. Like you said, it's too hard for the fucking radio. He said it perfectly. And that's how it's always been. Mainstream will never embrace it. They're embracing a fluffy version of it with all this weird, like, dressing in dresses and weird shit. They're accepting the laughable part of this culture, which is not even laughable. It's like, mainstream is whack. To me, I would rather be underground.
Right. Yeah. What would you consider, like, some of your standout interviews that you have had up to date?
One sticks out in particular because I was extremely nervous and I did a really good job, but I thought I did a really shitty job. And Jacinth shot it. He's a big director out here. You may know who Jacinth is if you're familiar with NorCal. If you're not, go look him up. We did the Brother Lynch interview. The Brother Lynch was my very first big name interview. Brother Lynch Hung. So being from Sacramento and getting to sit down and talk to Brother Lynch Hung, the day he signed to Strange Music, it was like epic for me. And it was kismet. The stars put all that together. I didn't plan that. You know, someone brought that to me on that day when that happened. And it's my most memorable interview to date. Like, I joked with him. I'm like, did you eat yet? Am I good? You know, can I, you know, he's like, you're good. I didn't want him to like bite me. And we talked about how my friend's husband did a high speed to his song. And he's all, that's funny. And I said, it wasn't at the time. So right. It was just like, we had a great time doing it. And that's when I realized these artists are just, a lot of what they show is what they have to show to the public, you know, but behind those doors, Lynch was really quiet and nice and respectful. And he didn't try to eat anybody in the room. And it's just like, this is all what he does. Yeah, it's his art. So I got a lot of respect for him out of that interview and vice versa. So when we see each other now, it's kind of like, we don't speak, but we know, you know, we see each other and we know. Cause he kind of catapulted me. That was a huge name. Still right. Is.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, especially with someone like Brother Lynch, if you just go by what he presents in his music, I could see where you, like you say, you could have the butterflies and stuff. And basically, like, after that, you never had any other interviews where you had butterflies. You was pretty much straight after that.
Oh, I have. I've definitely had a lot. I was very nervous to interview Rick Rock. Like, he's my very, very favorite producer ever. I was such a hyphy kid. You know, like, that was my shit. I survived 2006. So I interviewed Rick Rock. I made it through it. I was super nervous. I was super nervous to interview Shady Nate from Livewire and all of Livewire, because I knew the real Livewire from when we got started with Giants and Elephants, and I knew that they ain't no punks. So, I got nervous with him. I got nervous with Rick Rock was, like, the big name to me to have in my studio. He came all the way from L.A., so that was a huge... I also get nervous with female artists sometimes, and I don't know why. I think it's just because it's a girl and I'm talking to another girl. But I get through it. I'm very good at improv. That's the one. I'll insert a joke real fast. You know, even if it's about myself, I'll make sure somebody deflects the situation real fast. Like, because some of these artists come in and they don't know what to say, they don't know what to talk about or do. So you kind of have to guide them. But I would say that most memorable was Lynch. The most, and I got nervous pretty much for all the gangsters, all the real jit gangsters that slid through, not the fake ones. You know, like, that's some real ass G's come through the building. And they're like, they're in there with you, you know, and I'm like, yeah, like Fizz Nation, you know, Mac Maul is like my bestie now. But when I first interviewed Mac Maul, I was a mess. You know, that's like, oh my God, I've loved him since I was 14 years old. I know his lyrics to all his songs. Richie Rich, he's rapped Sideshow to me live on air. I forgot I was even on the radio. I was like, awestruck, you know, it's like, what?
Yeah.
So yeah, Richie Rich was a big one too. Mac Maul, all of them to me are just as important as the others, but the Lynch one sticks out specifically as the craziest one. Wild circumstances.
Word. That's dope. That's dope. And that's some real shit. You know what I mean? Like, you know, kind of having to balance being, you know, a supporter or a fan of the artist, but not like, okay, now this work time and try to hit that switch to handle the business, you know?
Right. Yeah. It's hard.
You may not want to put necessarily a name on it or anything like that, but have you ever had a situation where an artist was like too gangster for couldn't even get a good interview?
Yeah. Well, most of the time when that happens, it's like they come in and they're 25 deep and they can only stay for 5 minutes and they don't say much and they're out, you know, because it's like you can't even be in one place for 25 minutes. You're so hot, you know, you're so active that you can't even be in this building on a live feed. And so in 20 minutes, somebody's going to be here, you know, at this door. So it's pretty crazy for that. I've seen it. I don't get good interviews out of it. That's why I try to do private. Like, I'll set aside a different day of the week and bring somebody in. And I just pre-record it so that they can maintain their epic gangsterness and I can get my interview and everybody's good to go. But that live show on Monday nights, people are watching it, you know, so people know if they pull up, people are going to know where they're at. You know, we're right in the middle of Old Sac. So it's just, no one's ever done anything funky at my building, and I do not believe they ever would. So that's the good thing.
That's dope. You so how, you know, as far as, because a lot of people, that one thing I had to get hip to where for some reason, you know, people want to make sure that they're like, okay, Sacramento, and
it's not the Bay,
right? You know, like, why is that such a big thing as far as, especially in the music world, where it's all Northern California, and I do see some similarities in sounds, I mean, as far as sonically through music sometimes?
I think it's more ego. It's ego of Sacramento. It's like, okay, we get it. You know, we are the Bay Area. We are involved with the Bay Area. But the Bay gets so much shine because it's so dope. It's like Sacramento feels like they're not going to get the shine if they're considered the Bay, because they're not Sacramento, so they're not getting their name out. Like, that's how I have heard it felt before. I had an interview with a girl who was on Fizzler and did an interview, and she said everybody from Sacramento is weirdos. And oddly, I interviewed her the night they dropped the video. So she's in my studio in Sacramento the night they dropped it. And it's like all of Sacramento went up in flames. You know, they're like, I wish I would have knew she was there. I said, it's no big deal. You can say people are weird. Y'all are weird. Like, you reacting like this is weird. So weird. You know, Sac just has its own identity. And I think everybody who comes out here big, it's funny. It's a joke to us because all the big names come out and they'll be like, yeah, I'm in the Bay tonight. And it's like, no, you're in Sacramento.
Yeah.
Almost so Oregon. Almost Oregon blood. You're in Sacramento. You're not in the Bay. Get it right.
Right. Yeah. Do you think, because of the shine and, or, you know, different elements like that, do you think that holds back artists from there? Because, of course, like, of course, you got the, I grew up on hearing the Seabos of Brother Lynn's Huns, and it's a couple other artists. And then nowadays you have Mozzie, Lavish D.
Yeah.
And I don't want to leave out, I'm just saying the biggest names as far as myself.
Right.
Would there be any artists that you would put out there for people to be like, this is someone that you should keep your eye on?
I do. And I feel like with my radio show, I mean, I'll highlight anyone who wants to work with me, of course, and if their music is like, I fuck with it. I can't do it if I don't. But I try to interview and bring on, and even just bring on, fuck the interview, fuck the money, bring on the artists of the city that no one is ever going to see. You know, like they're not out there for the marketing, because they're not out in the streets like publicly like that. They're super dope, they're super talented, but they'll never be seen by the mainstream eye because of how deep they are in the streets, you know? And right. That is why I portray their music every week. I try to get the same people every week, you know, and it's like some of them I've seen them start to pop, and I've seen the song take off, and it's like to see that is a beautiful thing for me, because finally there's another outlet to show people that there's more than the mainstream names out of Sacramento. Do I fuck with them? Yes, of course. And I'm glad to. I'm proud of Sac, but we have way more like that you guys have not heard yet. And I know them, so I play their music every week, and people are starting to finally pay attention to that now. Thank God. But I'm sure with the internet, this guerrilla fucking marketing shit it's amazing. So anyone, you can be someone in a hole on the side of the road and portray that you have a rapper lifestyle, and then go and spin in a booth. Like, no one knows anything anymore. It's smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, it's crazy. Being in it as long as you have, how do you feel, you know, social media? Do you think social media has helped the quote-unquote rap game, or you think it has hindered it? Because a lot of people feel like, okay, with social media, it's direct to consumer, so you have a lot of people, they have better chance, you know. You don't need to, a lot of people got their own studios to their laptops and stuff at home,
right?
Do you think that have watered down the game, or do you think it has helped the game?
A little bit of both. I would say that it's a good tool for people who use it right and people who grind and hustle. If you don't, you know, and you just half-ass it, and it just looks fake, so it's not gonna work. There's way too many artists out now, but there's always been too many artists. We just weren't able to see them every day, wake up and do a live from their backyard to go get a soda. Like, everybody's on live now. So you never know when it's really live. Like, all the lives are boring because I want to see something live on live. So that's kind of how I feel like internet kind of, it sucks because it's my whole MO. Like, I have Wi-Fi tattoos all over me because it did launch the game. But I think it has ultimately hurt it. Because people are just not out in the streets anymore, meeting people face to face and speaking and getting that relationship with the DJs and the radio staff or the club staff. It's just, they're just showing up to perform, pop out, pop in. Marketing on Instagram, marketing on Facebook, it's not as personal anymore. And that's where I think it lost a little bit of its touch, personal level.
You want to break down to people, like you say, with your tattoos, the reason why, or what's the significance of the Wi-Fi tattoos to you in correlation to your brand?
Yes, connected the Wi-Fi tats. I got them done about 8 years ago. I just had an idea, and I was like, the internet is going to pop. You know, like, I knew this is when MySpace was jumping. So I knew it was going to pop off. So I got like hella Wi-Fi tats, and then I don't know if you believe in manifestation and all that, but I do. So I kind of thought and manifested up this brand. Like, I'm so connected to all the artists in this area. Everybody knows me. I'm at all the shows. I'm at all the functions. You know, I try to slide up everywhere because that's how you get to the next level. You have to show up. And that's why people see the Wi-Fi symbols and they'll be like, oh, connected. What are you connected to? And I'm like, whatever. Like spirituality, entertainment, people, whatever you want. I'm just connected. I'm tapped in. So that's what the Wi-Fi symbols are for. And then my other tats are all song titles. And, you know, most of them are NorCal song titles. So that's how that it all, that's how much of a music buff I am. Like, I didn't put my husband's name on there. I put Mac Dre's song title, you know, like feeling myself on my thigh. So he's like, okay. It's like, yeah, that's what I like. That's what I fucks with.
And how he feel about that? He cool with it?
Well, we're divorced, but it wasn't that did it. You know what I mean? No, he was fine with it. But that's how you can tell. People see me like they're with the Jacka quote. You know, Jacka, rest in peace. You know, Mob in peace. He was this close to blowing before he died. You know, so y'all would have known way more about him than you do now, but you already do because he's such a legend, even in Detroit. You know, like Jacka spread all over. It's crazy. That's crazy. And Mac Dre, we had a lot to thank for him for that. You know, Mac Dre brought the surface up for a lot of artists in this game, as did all of our Frisco vets and Oakland vets. You know, Richie Rich, Juice, Messy Marv, JT, all of them, Quinn, they all broke doors down, RBL. And that's what I do it for, is those guys. Because some people don't know that Dre Dogg is Andre Nicotina. They don't know it's the same guy. You know, it's like, you guys, that's old school. This is new school. You got to keep up. Got to keep up.
Right, I've heard a couple of people say, and I want to get your opinion as far as, you know, one of the biggest movements to come out of Northern California, the Bay or whatever. And I don't want it because I know this. I just want to speak to me from being from out of state. I just group it all together. You know what I mean?
Okay,
so
right.
Just the hyphy movement. I've heard different artists say that they feel like, not specifically the individuals that started the hyphy movement, but the hyphy movement kind of hurt the Bay because they felt like to people from the outside looking in.
It looks silly, right? It looks silly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard it. I think it's separate. I think hyphy, I mean, I love it, but you have to, each person likes different shit. So, but That brought an eye to the Bay, even if it was silly, even if it was, I guess you could say, whimsical, whatever. You know, that shit is artsy as fuck. You know, hyphy was a movement. So even if it did that much to bring eyes to the Bay, that helped, I think, as far as marketing goes. And I loved the music, but not the whole Bay ain't hyphy. You're right. And you will run into artists that'll be like, nah, I don't fuck with that. You know, so you have to know, going into it with these interviews or shows or concerts, who fucks with who? Because if you don't, then you're setting everyone up for failure. So that's kind of how I learned about that hyphy opinion was, you know, I have several different people in my building or at shows at one time. So yeah, I've seen it go down. I've seen the argument happen in person, you know, so I don't want to do that. So I try to keep it separate. But I commend the hyphy movement because I think it really launched a lot of attention towards Northern California.
Word. You so like on a more personal level, like once you clock out and leave, you know, from the you know, where you work at the station and go back home, like what type of things are you into off the clock? Do you bring your work home with you, or you know, what type of things you like to do after work?
Okay, that, and I do bring it home. Unfortunately, I'm a Pisces and I'm a spaz, so I bring everything. Everything I do carry it around with me in a bag. But I do have a day job too, so I'm like, I've always worked so much gristle. I work so much overtime, it's stupid. You know, I'm doing like 10 hours a day at this Square Bread bullshit, social work shit, you know, just to get some life insurance and shit, but,
right,
and
yeah,
dental. Yeah. But then at night, is the radio show, you know, it's like 4 or 5 hours when I do go down there and do a live show from start to finish. And then usually there's a show I'm hosting on a Friday, a Saturday, or a Sunday night, or all three. And I have done that before. So I don't know how to say no. That's one thing. You know, it's hard for me to say no, especially if it's someone that I support. And I don't have kids and shit. So I'm really pretty much always out in the scene, even if it's at smokeouts or concerts or car shows, you know, anywhere where I can be around people that are like minds, you know, of me, I'm trying to get there. So I'm not really home much anymore. I used to be. Everything's changed. I shifted my life from a negative point of view to a positive point of view, and I changed everything in my life. So it's all different now.
That's dope. That's dope. So what do you think had you in that quote unquote like dark space during that time of your life? You know, was it, did it have something to do with the marriage, or was it just more of a mindset?
My surroundings, my environment. Like, sometimes you do things in life that you think you're supposed to do and you weren't supposed to do them. So you learn the hard way by living through it and experiencing it. So it's like, once you've realized that you don't have to do anything if you don't want to, you know, like, so it's hard. Sometimes I'm trying to please people. I'm trying to please situations, and I stay in situations where I'm not even wanting to stay. But then you realize it's not about them. You got to take care of yourself first. And it's, you guys, that's what it is. I just had to bounce. It was not the same outlook. We didn't have the same outlook on things. And I was so obsessed with this music and this game and all these artists, you know, as a man, he might have felt some kind of way because he was from Queens, New York. You know, he's like family with Mobb Deep, way different, way different. So listening to my music was not happening. And then he was all Mobb Deep. So we kind of had to split that. And that's what created DJ Yee, Mick Yee, MC Yee, whoever she is, was that I hadn't heard my music in like a year, you know? And I was like, I finally got back to it, back to my life. And I started hitting all these shows. And I just know everybody because I've been here from the start. So it works for me. And I like it. I love what I do. I love it.
What would you consider, now I've heard you, you know, kind of name a few different things, so I don't know if this may be your answer or not, but what do you feel like one of your biggest trials or tribulations that you had to overcome as far as, like, being in the game that you're in? Like, I know I don't have a, you know, of course, I don't have a radio show or anything like that, and I can understand it can be frustrations that come with being in this game, dealing with different artists, a whole bunch of different type of personalities and different things like that. How do you find a balance and stay stress-free with dealing with so many different people?
You know, I try to be the same me every time with these people. So that works most of the time. You know, even if it's annoying, I will deal with it until I've professionally done it. So as a professional, even if it's maybe not a good vibe or we didn't start off on the right foot, I'm still going to do my job for you and I'm going to do it well because that's what I do. It's my job. So we may not see eye to eye. We may not even talk to each other ever again, but I will definitely do your interview. We'll smash your songs, you know, like all that shit. It's just who I am. But I definitely run into people that I don't mentally get down with. The energy ain't cracking. So I just have to keep it pushing, you know, just keep your head up and keep pushing. I've had to block a few people that are haters and snitches and shit. And it's like, when you get bigger name and you're around people of a bigger name, people want to be around you all of a sudden. And I'm not trying to have that entourage of fakeness. So I'll roll up by myself, maybe plus one. So I try to keep it just me so that not too many energies get involved. And that happens like what you described, you know, it's like so many different energies coming at you at once. You never know who's wanting what. So you just kind of have to stay above it.
That's real. Like you say, you know, being up in this, like you say, you don't really know everybody's intentions, their agenda, you know, if they're genuine or not. You know, one thing I've noticed from the outside looking in that, and not to go deep into it or nothing, but just because it do play a part in the music in some type of ways, there's a ton of politics that go on in Northern California. You know, being a personality and running the station and all that stuff. Like, how do you navigate through all that?
Somebody the other day, it's funny you say that because somebody the other day was like, oh, I can't. She played that person's song, you know, like somebody that they're at odds with right now in the community or whatever. Somebody don't like somebody or they say they're a snitch or they have paperwork or whatever. They're like, oh, but you played their song. I said, I'm a radio host. Like, I'm supposed to play their song. That's what I do. I'm going to play everybody's song. I'm going to play the person you don't like. I'm going to play yours. I'm going to play the person I do like. This is a neutral territory. So I have to maintain who I am and I have to maintain my transparency as being me. And people who know me know I don't pick sides. I play what is slapping and I'm going to play it whether they have paperwork or they are in a fight with somebody from Iraq or if they're fucking shot somebody's. I can't get involved in it. I'm not in that. You know, like I'm a host. I'm a radio host. So yes, I'm friends with a lot of these people personally, but they're business people. So they take that outside of the business, you know, like that's friendship is different. So it works for me, but I have had people be, you know, exactly what you're saying. You can't play them if you play him or you can't play him. Who the fuck told him? Who said that? He didn't say that, and neither did he. So, y'all don't know shit. Why don't you back up out of here?
Yeah.
Right? Listen to the show and listen to the banging-ass music. I'm not going to play them back-to-back of each other, of course, but I'm going to definitely make sure everybody gets some love that deserves it.
Yeah, that's something, I guess, asking that since you've been in the game a lot, way longer than I have, I asked that question, you know, kind of from trying to learn a little bit, even for myself, to just see navigating through it, because it can be frustrating. Have you ever had any days that you wanted to, not because of politics or anything like that, but has it ever been so overwhelming with the demand or people reaching out?
Yeah. There's points where it's like, why? This is not even my main source of income, you know what I mean? But it's my passion in life. But why am I arguing with this person, or why are they giving me pushback on something? You know, it's just like, yes, there's days where it's like, okay, you guys want me to quit? Because no one, I guarantee no one is spinning your songs one time a month. I guarantee that right now. No one. And I play everything I have at least once a month. I put it in general rotation. So I really think people need to step back and take a second look at a third party who is spending all their energy and all their time to promote you. Like, I'm trying to get your shit out there, but people don't want to pay $20 for a plug here or $100 for a 30-minute plug there. Everybody wants free. I did free the first 10 years of my life. That's how I got here. I'm not doing free anymore. My value has gone up. So if you want me, you got to pay for it. And they're like, oh, but you don't make RBL pay. Well, you're goddamn right. They're fucking legends. What are you talking about? Like, that's the reason I'm here is RBL Posse. I would never ask them to pay me money. They would give it to me on the strength, though, for real. So all the young artists, their egos is going to kill them off. They got to stop all that shit.
That's what I was going to ask you. Like, if you could give some game to an artist with, you know, with that, what you just said, that's super something I think artists do need to hear. What other type of game would you give them? Like, even if it's approaching you or just trying to get in the game, period. Like, what's something that you would give them, like a jewel that can help them with organizing their business or how to approach people? Because I get like DMs, or not even DMs, like someone to email me and it just be whatever, like, it just say some crazy shit.
Right.
I'm not saying people gotta just be super grammatically correct, but it'll just be crazy. And like, for real, you know, like, treat my shit like it's, you know, real business, and the same thing vice versa, you know.
I would definitely recommend to all the artists out there that don't know how to do interviews or approach DJs, you know, because who would, you know, that's not something they teach you at school. And half of these, I didn't go to school either, so I wouldn't have learned it there either. But you got to do research, and it's hard. I know it's like, it's not even hard anymore though. You know what I mean? To do research on somebody takes 5 minutes. It's right. You've got a smartphone in your hand. Look me up. Watch a minute of my show. Don't just watch the Instagram clips, because they'll come to me with this thing about interviews and spinning their music. And it's like, they're like, well, what does it play on? Well, have you ever even seen the shit? You know, like, can you like look at it? Maybe you don't even want to be on it. What if it's some shit you don't like? You know, like, you better research is key. I think research helps a lot. And secondly, always tone it down. You know, I know a big personality is effective, and I am one, so I get it. But I really respect someone with that keeps it a little bit fall back at first. Like, calm down. You know, like, I'm already have a high blood pressure from dealing with all the shit that goes on at this radio station. You know, like, you never know who's going to pull up. But when the doorbell rings, I got enough to deal with. Please just come at me with like good vibes. Don't the gang banging and the, I get it. You're from here. You know, I fuck with you. I fuck with your people. Just be like, calm down. Just be cool. Play it cool. Act like you're Michael Jackson. And then I'll be good to go.
Like, what up, blood? You gonna play my song, blood? Like, come on.
Oh, wait. I've had them get pissed off. I've had them be mad at me. I've had them fucking sub me all day long about not playing their song. I had somebody get mad at me because I was playing one of their songs that was older than the song they had sent me. Like, I had newer music. He DM'd me while I was playing it and said, I know Tam is hot right now. That's Moz. I know Moz is hot right now, but play that, you could play the new track I sent you. Excuse me, sir. What? You know, like, I'm playing it. That's what radio stations do. They play the hits. That's a fucking hit. It was a compliment, if anything. But really? Ego.
Yeah.
Ego.
When you respond that type of way to certain artists, do more times than none, do they get it? Or it be kind of like they, you know, they don't get it, be argumentative, or how do most?
I've had them both. And I say 3 out of 10 get it, and it sinks into them, and they use it, and it works for them. 7 of them, they're renegade as fuck. They ain't doing that shit. They will continue to pursue the way they pursue, and it may work one day because they may get a hit, and it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like, once you get that hit, it's not going to matter. But that's a real big lucky bingo hit you better get, because you could just be nice to somebody and they might do you a favor someday. But instead, you know, they got their ego in the way. There's a ton of them, and it's youth. But I was young too, so I get it. I was an asshole too.
Yeah.
Probably payback for what I did to other people when I was young. I don't know, but I just try to keep it pushing to the next one, because there's enough artists out there that I could do this for the rest of my life if I wanted to. But just to focus on my people alone is beautiful to me. Like, Mac Maul has taught me so much, and that's someone I would recommend these youngsters go and follow his blueprint. You know, these young rappers, these young artists. Mac Maul is a solid individual, and he has a solid resume, and he's got catalogs, and he's dope. You know, he's like still pushing, writing books, very polite, very respectful, appreciates the support. You know, just a very good guy. So I would say to check him out, do some of the shit he does, because he does it right.
Yeah. What's some of the best advice that you have received, possibly like from another personality or someone in the radio, you know, media world?
I would say the best advice I got most recently was from one of my family, from the Sick With A Family, Big Omeezy. Big Omeezy is E-40's like right hand man, and he's out here, he's in SAC, and he said, Katie, and that's my name, I said yeah, he said, charge their ass and now charge them double. And I was like, okay. So now I know we have no radio station. I'm playing all your shit. We play explicit, we interview all the hottest local artists. I'm gonna have to, you gotta pay, bro, you know, like, I'll deal with you and work with you. Let's trade. Trade some pills. I don't give a fuck. I'll trade. But pay for the shit. I'm done with the free. I'm done.
So with the biggest or the radio station out there closing down, if you can, I know a lot of times people don't want to put the full blueprint out there because someone else will try to, you know, take it and duplicate it. But if you could say, where do you see yourself and your brand in the next, you know, 5 years?
My goal is, and I hate to sound cliche, but I'm going to do it. Fuck it, is Breakfast Club. Like, I would love if you were a Breakfast Club type of interview is. You know, like, that's kind of what I already do, but on a very small scale. Reality-wise, I would assume and hope that our community would get behind us and start donating money. Because we're not, you know, independently wealthy, like oil tycoons over here. You know, we work to keep this shit going. So I would hope that the community gets behind the only place that's playing their kids' music and their brother's music and their dad's music and, you know, supporting the locals, and maybe we can build. Because we are in a very historical building. We're in the building that used to be KBMB, which was the bomb, which was our very best radio station ever, where Ebro started, all of the big names. So that, my goal is to increase 360 and Connected, but I would love to have like a platformed ass show, like sitting down in front of a camera on an international level. That's what I want. I'm the trap Barbara Walters. You just haven't met me yet. You spoke to me. You just haven't sat down with me, you know? So that's my thing. I like glasses. I like weird glasses. I wear those a lot on the show. I'm starting to find myself over the years. And that's kind of what I rotated to, was Barbara Walters and weird sunglasses with the lenses popped out. Because, you know, that's what we do here in NorCal. Yee.
how would you explain, like, if you could, your interview style when you sit down with an artist? You know, is it more investigative or, you know, friendly? You know, you got the shock jocks out here that just want to say the most ridiculous things for ratings.
Yeah.
How would you kind of define your interview style?
Well, that's obviously not me, because I have not even 1,000 subscribers on my YouTube channel. So I hate shock jock. I fucking hate it, because that's how you're going to end up getting shot one day. So I don't do that. You know, like, I don't do that. I'm a very, I actually described my interviews once, and they said, what is your interview style? I said, it's very unorthodox and drunk. And that's true. Like, all we do is kick the shit. You know, like, I may not even know who they are when they walk in my room, and I purposely don't research them for that purpose. Like, because I want a real energy. Like, do we vibe? Do we not? I don't want to know who they know, who they don't know. No big name, no little name. Like, I want to hear your music, and I want to feel your energy. And that's what I provide there every Monday night, is some weird energy that everybody loves. It. It's a great energy, as long as we're all on the same page. So that's kind of how my interview is like, who are you? Where are you from? And then once that's been said, we kind of talk about who made their beats and who they want to work with and who they listen to when they used to have to vacuum in the, when they were a kid. You know, like, we just go back on stories and I tell stories, and it's fun. We have fun. We get to know each other.
Word. You, now, how long do you feel like, I know you said you did a lot of stuff for 10 years for free. Was that the main grinding time that it took to get the radio station, you know, to where it's at now? Or did you, was it something particular, like, particular that happened? Was it that particular interview you said with Brother Lynch Hung, right, that took you over the edge? Or was it, you know, just over a long period of time? And the reason why I ask this question, because I have different people that reach out, or different people I watch from afar that's trying to get in this, and a lot of people feel like shit just gonna pop overnight.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
what I mean? Like,
no, you're right. You're definitely right. It takes years. This is my fourth attempt, actually. And they say you're not successful in radio unless you've been canned or fired or had to shut down at least once. That's a saying out there. You know, in radio, you have to at least be shut down once to be considered that you're in radio. You know, there's like, that's what they say. So I'm on my fourth attempt. I took a 4-year break. I've rented 5 different locations. I've bought 5 different websites. I've had to find streaming for 6 different sites. You know, I was not always at 360 Radio, but the Connected brand, myself, I have been hopping from radio station to radio station for like 12 years now. So I have all this old footage from people, that flip phone footage, you know, that I started with Drew Down, Regime, you know, like, this footage is gold. So yes, you have to, it took me 12 years to get to where I can walk up to a door at a club and they'll be like, oh, that's Ye, you know, like, let her in. It took a long time to get there, though, a long time. And they still, some people out there still don't know who the fuck I am out here in the city, and that's fine. But it took me 12 years to get to Eddie Z, which is my DJ at the platform I'm at right now. And he DJs for the Sac Kings. So we have a lot of eyes on us. You know, like, he's popping. So it worked. Yeah. And I feel lucky to be there. And my other co-host, Hennessy, I mean, he has a show on Tuesday nights. I go to his show every Tuesday night, too. So I'm there a lot. And I feel like it took me a good 12 years. And it took me 4 businesses later, because I had my own radio stations, my own rooms, my own streams. Juice going to jail probably was the biggest hiccup. That's when I had to figure it out. You know, like, yeah. You ain't got the bullies no more. Well, I did, but his wallet was with him. So I had to figure that shit out and get it cracking. And I did, out the mud. You know, like, I popped that shit off several times. So that's how I know it can be done. Because I didn't have anything to start with. I just had a dream and a hope. And I made that shit happen several times. So it's possible, kids. Continue to dream.
Yeah, that's real. When during that, how important, like, through those obstacles, how important is it to you, or once you realize, to have a strong team?
It was very important at the time, because it took more than one person to do the production of these shows. Nowadays, you can shoot a fucking movie that you would go see at the theater on your iPhone XR. So it's different, you know, like, when I started, I had to have a team of, I did my own DJing, so I do know how to work a board, but I had people to help me set up and take down the equipment every show. But nowadays, all I need is me, you know, like, we turn on the YouTube live, I record the show, maybe somebody opens the door. I have a photographer, he does a lot, and I have my production guy, and we have been rocking a good 3 years now, so congratulations on that. Justin and Eddie and Peter, they stuck in it, and it's gonna be a beautiful thing. You know, like, we make magic every week, and they are part of integral part of it. They have to be there, or I don't do my show. So, but I haven't missed a show in 2 years, 3 years since I've been in that building. So that means every Monday for 3 years I've been there, every Monday.
Consistency.
Yeah. Yep. And I, you know, I haven't been at my day job every day for 3 years. I have not at all. I have missed several. I was sick today. You know, like, you don't cheat your dream. You know, like, you have to cheat the one you're cheating with. You can't cheat the dream.
Damn. That's deep. That's deep to look at it from that angle. Yeah. Look at it from that. So ultimately, like, if the radio show, well, not if, I'm going to say when, you know, because you're putting in a ton of work and you're consistent. Once the radio show get to where it's at, would you leave, you know, your other job to take this on full time, or would you constantly keep that balance?
I would try to keep a balance as long as possible, just because I feel like it keeps me out of a dark, like, remember we talked about dark places. I just prefer to be busy. Now, of course, if I get this job that's like 16 figures, I'm out. You know, like, I'm out. I'll go chill and be a host and go to Bali, and I'm out. But if it was just like another, it needs to be real big is all I got to say for me to give up my show money for some hoe money. You know, like, I got to have it be real. It has to be real big, because I get real money with these people during the day too. So it's hard. It's a hard balance, but I've always been both. I don't think I've slept very much in a long time. It's like I lost that desire. I used to like sleep. Now I can't sleep anymore, so I'm always up. That's why people wonder how many people I have running my accounts. I don't have any. It's just me, you know. No one.
Yeah.
They know me in this area for marketing. I'm a marketing beast. Like, I am a one-man show on that Instagram, and people know that. So they pay me to do their work for them on that. And I'm like, I need someone to do that now. I can't do yours. You're like, it's past that. So I used to get money doing that, helping people with their marketing campaigns, because they're not, what are you doing with the shit? You know, like, work it. That's what it's for. Instagram is a networking tool.
Exactly. I even noticed that, I don't know what day it was, but I think I messaged you, and they, you know, we on a 3-hour time difference. So I messaged you, I don't know if it was maybe 1 or 2 o'clock my time, and then I messaged back probably once I woke up, but I'm looking at the time difference. I'm like, only about 4 or 5 hours and went by.
Right.
And you responded right back. I'm like, damn, you
should
sleep.
That's how I get those exclusive songs. People don't understand. Like, you hit them at 4 a.m. after they just recorded it, and they're like, oh, we're in the lab, we wrapping up. I'm like, I'm up. Send it to me. What?
So you be on the rapper schedule, kind of.
Yeah. I'll be on there live, but my day job is also a night job, so I do on-call work for them. So technically, I'm being paid to promote my business online while I'm working for them in my room, you know, like, my house. I'm double dipping, but that's destiny gave me that. I'm doing both. No one's getting cheated, so it works well. Right.
Yeah. So if for the people that's tuning in right now, with your eyes to the streets and, you know, your ear to the curb and everything, what artists are you standing behind right now, coming up out of Sacramento, that you say this is the one or going to be the next one?
Man, there's a few. There are a few. I mean, everyone pretty much knows my top five, but I mean, I'm a big Lav B fan. I love Lav B. I've seen him from the beginning grind, and he's just as dope as he want to be, as fly as he wants to be. He knows it too. Sacramento has an artist named CB who's on the rise. It's a girl. She's got blonde dreads. This song called Debo that hit a real big climb out here that people are really watching. She has this real specific style. She kind of sing raps, and she does her own hooks, and she's really dope. So look out for CB. True Story Gang, True Story Briss, Mac J. They have a really tight, solid camp. Gatlin, Regime. Gatlin is my guy. Like, I go to all the video shoots, and he lets me hold the money stacks, and, you know, we have fun. They all include me. You know, it's like they all include me. If I include them, they include me. So I would definitely keep your eye on them. As far as females go, there's a girl, Diazini, out of Stockton. There's another girl out of this area, too, that's fitting pretty tight right now. Her name is Zaini Gomani. So any of these people you'll see weekly on my show, I spin them weekly. And to watch Lab kind of come up under this whole Cash Money, you know, signing. He just got signed to Cash Money Records. It was just crazy to watch. You know, this is like Mozzie, of course, he's big as shit. Like, we don't, I'm sure, I haven't even seen him around lately. You know, like, it's been, he's blowing up. So Sacramento is like on the map. It's crazy. Crazy.
And so let me ask you this, like, taking, you got, you know, Mozzie's, the Lavish D's. And I'm asking this from if I was an artist, so they can understand. When you have artists or plural artists that blow up like that, how much do you see a change in like the light that comes to the city that helps other artists? Because sometimes I don't think other artists, when there be a lot of hate and this stuff going on, that they don't understand that, you know, you, instead of hating on something, champion it or support it from even from a distance, right? Because the bigger that they get, it's putting more shine on, you know, where they're from. So how do you look at that?
I've already pretty much told everybody, like, any kind of publicity that's positive on this city is a step in the right direction for any of their careers, any of them. So as a mature adult, you know, we have to remind people sometimes that that's what we are. You know, we have to congratulate people, or at least just politely stand by and watch, because what is happening is causing more people to watch what's surrounding this person they're watching, and that's us. So now everyone's Googling hashtags of Sacramento rappers, and they're Googling all of the controversy that comes out of the NorCal area, and it's like, that's what we're best at out here. You know, we make a big deal out of some shit. That's what NorCal does. So it's just something that I would say, I would try to use restraint, you know, as a mature person, to not... The funk disappears once a certain level of success steps in, because those people are not worried about it anymore. They're fucking eating grapes and drinking champagne in fucking Napa. Like, it's not a problem. You feel me? Like, it's over with. So it was a big deal then, and I'm sure it is still a big deal to some of these guys, but they're focusing on their career. So we should accelerate that with them and try to get people to sign another person. Like, let's get a third out of SAC. Let's do it. Because there was, in the back in the day, you know, Bo is pushing SAC real hard right now too. Sibo is a real big advocate for us. So he's pushing a lot of local artists' music out. Rated, X-Rated is advocating for us. You know, he's out moving around, pushing good music out, signing younger artists. I just encourage everyone to continue doing what you love, but please don't get in the drama of it all. Just step above it, because that's the best road to take. The high road's the best road. It's not messy up there. It's not messy.
Except once you get up to the top, yeah.
Right. It's easy.
So, you know, before we get up out of here, if you want to double back and let them know, you know, the things that you definitely want people to check out, and if you have any, like, I know you got interviews and stuff coming up. Like, if you want to go ahead and plug some of the interviews that people should go back and check out, and some that's coming up, and, you know, plug the, you know, .coms and everything.
Sure. Okay, so this Monday, I do a show every Monday night on it's called The 360 Radio. So it's THE360radio.com. We're also on YouTube on that handle. I am going to publish my old Ye Get Paid YouTube tomorrow, and it has some old school footage on it that everybody's going to like. You can listen to the radio station 24/7 on that call tag. If you go to the website, you can hear the stream, but we are on live on Monday nights. I'm Connected Radio. Tuesday nights is Hennessy with Top Shelf Radio. We have DJ Eddie Z. He's the King's DJ. He fucks with us. He does most of our mixing. DJ Just Loyal, Russ Ruthless, Peter Parker, JDZ. We also have, I have Boss Lady Products, as I'm a big part of a 420 coalition. So we have City of Trees Smokeouts that are coming up, Dinner Arts and Dab, where we basically just get high and eat, and everybody does it together. It's fun. So if you want to feel good, you want a good energy, just get me on the gram. I'm at Mickey, MCYEE, 3 E's, _ Major Key with 2 Y's. And I had to use the 7 E's because there are other ye areas in this business, and I am not them, and they are not me. And I love you, Lil Rick, but I had to put 7 E's on mine. That's my lucky number. So that's how people will get to the Gmail. They have to count it. I am hosting a show for this Friday at the Blue Lamp for Rock the Mic. Shout out iLisa Entertainment. She's been holding me down forever. Shout out promotions like Mac Mall. He invites me everywhere he goes. That's how you know you're friendly. You're a friend with somebody. Like, that's a good dude. Most of these artists know I'm going to show up at this function and they may make me pay to get in, but I'm still coming in because I support them, right? Mac Mall is one of the only ones that will be like, do you want to walk in with me? Do you need me to leave you a ticket at the door? Like, that's a real dude right there. Like, that's a real artist. So, again, class act. Everybody needs to follow his mold. He did a good job at it. So, that's how we have shows. I have flyers. I'll send you the flyers on everything. But just go follow the YouTube, 360radio.com, the360radio.com. And I appreciate it, Doc Hicks. And I talk your ear off because that's what I do. I'll talk through the night. I will.
No, it's all good. I appreciate it. Just like something you were saying earlier about just interviewing people and having to pull it out of them. Yeah. I appreciate when it, you know, a person can actually articulate themselves and, you know, to answer the questions, and it's not a very short answer. You know, it's like you're pulling tooth and nail just to get them to speak. Like, I greatly appreciate it.
Right. Thank you for that. Yeah, I'm definitely an interesting study. I have an article coming out in 41510 magazine. They gave me the cover for that. They're calling me the host with the most. I need to lose some weight because I got on that stage the other night and I almost died. It was so hot. Like, I try to relate to the crowd. You know, when I'm on stage, I try to relate to the crowd. So that's my best job in the world. If I could get paid to do just hosting and comedy and radio, I will one day. I will get paid more for it. And shout out to Juice because he started this gangsta shit. Juice, you know you did. I haven't seen him and I haven't written him and I'm sorry and I know he's mad, but when he gets out, he's going to see how popping it is and he's going to be happy. He's going to like that.
Word. And my last question would be, if everything in a perfect world, you got the sway into the world, you had brought up Ebro, would you ever go out to like another radio station if a bigger, you know, not bigger, because what y'all got going on is big, but you know, like if a corporate company or something came in, or do you want to stay true to your roots to make sure that you keep the city and Northern Cali on your back to make sure that people get displayed properly?
Oh, it's so hard because I want both. I want both. I want to do both. So I have to be that person. I have to make my own lane and then present and promote my area. That's what I have to do. So I would leave, but I would prefer to make my own stand out more. You know, I would prefer to keep mine rather than, because I have people that are counting on me over here, just like I'm counting on them. So if they went with me, yeah, but I don't know that all 360 would go anywhere else. So it just depends. Money talks. Let's holla. Just hit me on the DM. Just we'll talk about it.
Word.
I like to stay true. I like to stay true. I guess that's my answer. Stay true to myself.
Word. So that would actually, if someone presented it to you, basically you would sit down and at least think about it and chop it up with your team to see if that was something. What if your team said no, if it was a greater cause where you're like, well, I could step out and do this and end up coming back and pulling them back up with me, that type of thing? Or if your team said no, you'd be like, no, I'm just going to stay.
I'm a Pisces and I ride on 100% on my intuition. So I would have to know what it was happening at the moment. That's what would have to be. I might do that, but I might not either. So depends. My team didn't want to go. There would be a reason. And that reason would probably hinder me from doing it.
Right. Yeah. Cause you know, I respect what you do. I respect your personality. I respect, you know, just your intentions. It's not a lot of people that I meet that have pure intentions.
Right.
Because they got love for the culture. They come from the culture. You know what I mean? And really genuinely want to see other people win. Where, like, I could tell, and that's listening to this, I feel like once they get to the end of this interview, they'll be able to see that, yes, you want to be successful and continue to prosper, but you also see that it's bigger than yourself as well. It's a collaborative effort for right. The city, the whole region and everything as well. So
yep.
That's a positive thing.
Yep. I want to get bigger and I want to take them with me at the same time. And if I can do both, I will. And if I can't do both, I'll do the bigger thing and then come back and get the smaller thing. That's the only way I would be able to do that. Because I'm too I stand by my word. I'm known for it, so I wouldn't be able to leave and then not come back. So that way I may not even leave. See what I mean? I'm such a Pisces. Flip-flop.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Well, I greatly appreciate you coming on the show tonight. And, you know, at any point in time, you know, this is not the last, you know, time. So at any point in time, if there's anything else that's going on, I feel like it'd be periodic times you come back and forth on the show and we can chop it up.
Oh, yeah.
People know what's going on with you.
For sure. Most definitely. I definitely appreciate it. Much respect. And if you're ever in Cali, look me up. You know, I show you the best time in the world up here in Northern California, for sure. But make sure, Doc Hicks TV, anytime you need anything promoted, anytime you have an artist you want spun or an interview or a phone interview, anything, just holler at me. Like, I got you, for sure, for real.
Okay, cool. Bad.
I was out there on the Yola track.
Yola track.
Trying to make my motherfucking money back.
My money back.
Popo beat me up and took all of my fatty.
Ooh. All my fatty.
I dang near almost had enough to cop me two or three. OZs of that good candy.
Good
but
candy.
I was gonna take us a second for me to get back on my toes and feet.
On my toes and feet.
Bitch!
Yeah, this one of them throwback mobbed out Yola coppin' yes. Truck robbin', spark some cuss. Crack a bottle and sip some yak beats.
Motherfucker!
Crack a bottle and sip some yak beats.
Motherfucker!
Yeah, this one of them throwback mobbed out Yola coppin' yes. Truck robbin', spark some cuss. Crack a bottle and sip some yak beats.
Motherfucker!
Crack a bottle and sip some yak beats.
Motherfucker!
When I was born, I was designed to be a boss.
Boss.
Built to be able to deal with anything that I came across.
Came across.
Throw off methods, I wore this glass to avoid. Now smiled across when I was out there in the trap.
Trap.
Be flicking and serving knocks.
Nice.
I played with a dangerous street instrument that didn't shoot pellets or BBs. One of the most faithful weapons of choice. Remington rifle 223s. Styrofoam and plastic, fresh out the box with a cleaner kit. I was quiet and I was slick, but if you fuck with me, I emptied the clip. Basically, me and my goons was overseeing my realist's $1 trillion spot. It was my job, I got bread to hold down a whole motherfucking block.
Now I'm the nigga, I'm that dude, I'm the man.
I'm the man.
This shit I'm spitting. Niggas don't understand.
I'm gonna give you 10% of the take. I'm gonna give you 10% of the take. You got enough stuff in here to send us up for life. You got enough stuff in here to send us up for life.
I didn't try and take it over. I took it over. I didn't try and take it over. I took it over.
You got enough stuff in here to send us up for life. You got enough stuff in here to send us up for life.
Mr. Flamboyant.
Mr. Flamboyant, yeah, that just might be your hand.
Hand.
Blackjack craps roulette. I roll a lot of gamble.
Pour water like a camel.
Gamble. Never tell and never snitch.
Snitch.
On a mission to get rich. Slap the shit up out of bitch. I'm a fixer having tips. Been doing it for a grip.
Grip.
Might not gang bang,
bang.
But I said trip.
Trip.
I've been out here 24-7. Nothing more, nothing less.
Less.
Gritting my ass off. Smelling like feet, butt, and breath.
Grip.
In the meantime, in between time, I'll be mobbing.
Mobbing.
Ducking and dodging Batman and robbing.
Robbing.
Living my life in a fast lane, no jargon. Capitalizing, taking advantage every time I hear money cow.
Money
tell me I need to be pumping my brakes. I'm moving too quick, I'm rushing.
Rush.
I open a nigga up, I bust my gun, man. I ain't bluffing.
I ain't bluffing.
Money and muscling, hustling. Trying to get this cake. My hood didn't breed no chimpanzee, my hood breeded an ape. Sinister mob music, excruciating drive. 212s and 48s in the trunk.
Trump
doing this fucking job.
I'm hella far from being a punk.
All my life I've been a hog. Don't lift free weights, bench press, just couches, refrigerators, and walls.
In the Bay we got earthquakes.
In the South they got tornado. In the Midwest and the East Coast, either rain, sleet.
When it comes to pushing, I'm a proud.
Clever about the moves I make. Bringing with my ideals and choices that I choose to choke you.
Be kind of careful what you say. Be kind of careful what you say. You just try and cross me and you see if I mean it. You just try and cross me and you see if I mean it. You intend exposing me to the police? You intend exposing me to the police? You just try and cross me and you see if I mean it. You just try and cross me and you see if I mean it.
Mr. Flamboy,
the trees, trim them and put them in plastic bags.
Plastic bags.
Medicine draw, saran wrap,
FedEx or UPS.
Whatever you need, I got it at your request.
Your request.
Got the lowest prices in town, and as far as quality, got the best. Me and my niggas don't take no mess, you and your niggas probably don't either. Everybody got a squeezer these days. Rifles and SK.
Stuck in my stubborn ways.
Till I'm managed with it.
Handguns
and 12 gauge.
You
damage with it.
Whooping them at their own game.
All the popo on my knife.
My fame bigger than my bang.
Although I'm having
chance. You can find me at the shooting range, perfecting and practicing my aim.
Me and my young life knuckleheads, thunder. Cats and hooligans.
The only way to get out is to go in. So cover me, I'm going in like Daniel in the Lion's
Roll with us, I get rolled over, man.
Crushes like a beer can.
Beer can.
The only man I fear is in the mirror, man.
I've been waiting for a break like this for years. I've been waiting for a break like this for years. Hey, why didn't you tell us you were such a big shot? Hey, why didn't you tell us you were such a big shot?
Mr. Flamboyant.
I've been waiting for a break like this for years. I've been waiting for a break like this for years. Hey, why didn't you tell us you were such a big shot? Why didn't you tell us you were such a big shot?
Mr. Flamboyant!
I've always had a preference for legitimate enterprises.
I think you've been going too hard lately, night and day.
I've always had a preference for legitimate enterprises.
I think you've been going too hard lately, night and day.
I've always had a preference for legitimate enterprises.
I think you've been going too hard lately, night and day.
I've always had a preference for legitimate enterprises.
I think you've been going too hard lately, night and day.